Good morning. What a beautiful day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to know that even if your world is falling apart around you, as children of God, we all know how it turns out in the end. We are winners. Okay. Good to see everybody here. And hope you're enjoying our beautiful weather here today. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. Well, everybody's heart palpitating, and it's a little humid to be jumping around, but it feels good. Okay. So, it says to offer a warm welcome. I think we've had it. Glad you're here. Please note that there's a register pad for you to sign along the center aisle in the pew, and pass that along so everybody can sign so we know you're here. And if there's somebody missing, give them a call and see where they are today. Maybe they'll invite you to see their wonderful vacation pictures or who knows what. So, invite them back. Let's see. We have some announcements this morning. There's also a note card in the pad that you can, if you have any prayer requests, you could write on that. The ushers will bring it forward. Church picnic's coming up. So mark your calendars. There's an announcement in the bulletin about that, August 15th. And we do need to know if you're coming. So I think there, yeah. Is there a sign-up sheet out? Or just, okay, there's sign-up in the bulletin. So we have enough food to share, if you would check on that. Also, who's wearing their name tag today? I see a lot of them out there. Great. Good. Some of us know people, but some of us don't, and some of us are newer than others, and some of us forget names. So, it's good to. I forget name tags. I have three name tags hanging by my door, and they're still hanging by my door because I know my name. I don't know, but anyway. So, are there any other announcements out there? Say. Oh, we need to do the memory verse. Got to get with this new routine. Okay. Okay, this week it's from 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Actually, it's this month for the whole month of July. Who's memorized it yet? Anybody? I haven't either. Oh, well, you probably knew it before you got here. Okay, let's all say it together two times. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. One more time. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Speaking of loving with actions, we had Vacation Bible School. Do you have a spiel on that later? Okay, we'll let you talk about that later then. That's coming attractions. Okay, any other announcements at all? Everything? Okay, let's continue with our worship. Please stand. Let's join in our call to worship, which is Psalm number 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel not now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when foes rose up against us, then they would have fallen us off when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then the raging waters would have fallen over us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped as a bird escapes their wiles. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Let's join in our opening prayer, unison prayer. Govern all by thy wisdom, O Lord, so that my soul may always be serving thee as thou dost will, and not as I may choose. Do not punish me, I beseech thee, by granting that which I wish or ask, if it offend thy love, which would always live in me. Let me die to self, that I may serve thee. Let me live to thee, who in thyself art the true life. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 462.
we have the kids come up? We want to sing our songs. Come on, all our surfers. All right. Our children would like to sing some of the songs that they learned at VBS this week. Everybody had an awesome time. Everything turned out really great. And I want to thank everybody for all your donations and your support and your prayers for making it work so well. Ready, guys? Everybody stand up.
Every day.
Helping them, or Snappy, I'm sorry. Thank you, Snappy, for helping the kids. Thank you so much for coming up.
That was
you're right, Snappy. Thank you very much. And Pastor Bruce, it's you.
I just wanted to, while the kids get started there.
Okay. I was out during the week to walk around from class to class and see what everybody was doing with Vacation Bible School, and you've got a great, great bunch of workers. They really love the kids. They did a fantastic job. Penny worked so hard, running around with her cowbell, chasing them from class to class, and Phil and his crew, the folks in the kitchen, they did a fantastic job too, and can be real proud of them. I said, next year, we'll really beat the bushes and get more kids to come out and learn about Jesus. So it was a wonderful time, and for that, we give God the glory. Connie.
Should use whatever gifts they have received to serve others, to serve others. Each one should use whatever gifts they have received to serve others in the body. Every one of us is given gifts from above. Graciously He's lavished onto each of us His love. So don't hold back the gifts you have. Reach out and help someone today. For Christ revealed His greatest gift when He gave His life away. Each one should use whatever gifts they have received to serve others, to serve others. Each one should to serve others in the body of Christ. Each one should use whatever gifts they have received to serve others, to serve.
Our scripture reading from the Old Testament is from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram. Remember, he was Abram before he was Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. At this time, the ushers will come forward for God's tithes and our offerings. God of blessing, we rejoice that you are present with us by your faithful word and spirit. At times you speak in unexpected ways, in the voice of a friend, neighbor, or stranger. May we come to know you so well that we discern your message of blessing in others' words. May our congregation become more like Abraham and Sarah, through whose offspring you have blessed the world. May we receive strangers and provide hospitality with no expectation of reward. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Smile. Yes, we have lots to be joyful about. We indeed are a blessed people. Who wants to give God some glory here? What joys do we have? Sunshine. Health, good health.
The children.
Vacation Bible school. That Braden's here? Yes. Other joys?
Health
again, yes. Are you joyful that you have an education? Are you joyful that you have Bibles to read? That's right. Are you joyful you live in a country that allows you to have Bibles to read?
Yes.
Yes, amen. Are you, and my personal favorite is?
Indoor plumbing.
That's right.
Be here with church family.
Absolutely. Yep, we're giving God the glory. And for all these joys, we say, praise the Lord. So for all these joys, we say,
praise the Lord.
Okay, get out your pens and your pencils. Write on your bulletin, scrap of paper, notebook. It's your prayer homework for the week. These are our concerns. Mary Teresa Yatsko passed away. So we need prayers for the Yatsko and Weber family. Donna's sister-in-law. Spitznagel family. Other concerns?
Sandy?
Oh, and how is Andy? I haven't heard. Anybody had an update lately on Andy? Now, I know that he was doing better and he came home. He still has a long road to recovery. I believe he came home here. Yeah. Okay, they saw him yesterday. He's home. Other concerns? Caleb, our youngest son, migraines.
For people that are addicted to the lottery.
People with a gambling addiction, addicts. Substance abuse addicts.
Our country.
Our country. Our country, elections and everything else, the unrest. The world is a mess. What's happening in France and now the civil unrest in Turkey, not to mention all over the world, the Sudan is also going through another civil unrest. Need our police officers. other concerns. You know, God cares about you. You, yourself, your aches, your pains, the bills, your relationships, the work you have to do, God cares about you. And God said, cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. All our cares. So give them to the Lord, whatever they are. So if you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And we come to you, God, because there is no one, no place else to go. You are the great I am. You're greater than any problem that we have or anybody else has. God, you're greater than the problems of the whole world. And you're greater than the problems that we have right in our own individual lives. God, help us. Help us, Lord. And God, for all those blessings, we thank you and praise you. Forgive us when we take them for granted. And help us to use our blessings the way you intended us to use them, to be a blessing to those around us, so that they too will come to know the love of Christ. And so, God, we stand upon your word, that word that tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. Indeed, we have favor with God and man. It is written, you, my God, will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is written, and the gates of hell will not prevail against your word. Thank you for that, God. And so we indeed do cast all our cares upon you. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise, for you alone are worthy. For all of this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, number 174, His Name is Wonderful. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. We're pretty comfortable here, aren't we? Pews are nice and padded. Temperature's comfortable in here. We're among friends, protected from the elements, surrounded by beauty. We've got a handsome pastor. Okay, who laughed? Did you get their names, Peggy?
Oh,
well, yes, did you? We're pretty comfortable. This is our comfort zone. We like coming to church, doing things a certain way, having a bulletin, following a specific order of worship. It's good. Life is good. Abram, before he answered God's call, Abram lived in Haran with his family, grandparents, married. He had possessions. Life was good. And then one day God calls him. And he wants him to go to a land far away that Abram knows nothing about. Nothing. But Abram says, "Okay, I'll do this thing." 75 years of age. You know, you think 75 years of age, wow, he's pretty old. Well, his grandfather lived to be 205. So relatively speaking, he wasn't all that old, but still, he was in his comfort zone. He liked where he was at. And yet God said, "Come, Abram, I want you to go to a distant land." And Abram said, "Okay." So God renames him Abraham, meaning the father of many, and he makes with him that Abrahamic covenant that we find in Genesis 12. Abraham was willing to get out of the boat, to move out of his comfort zone. But we're not always like that, are we? Sometimes when God calls us to do something that's not easy, not comfortable, something we're not used to, we're real quick to back off and leave it up to somebody else. But we're always running into opportunities to do things that aren't easy. I tell you, years ago, we were living in Cochranton. I was serving the Cochranton United Methodist Church. That's right up 79, above 80. It's right at Meadville area. Right before you get to Meadville exit, you get off at Cochranton exit. Route 322 runs right through Cochranton. But we were up there a number of years ago, and we had company coming over that night, family. And Bonnie says, "You know, you need to make a run to the store because we need some grub." And I said, yes, dear, you know, happy wife, happy life. So I obediently jumped in the car and drove into Meadville, 11 miles away. It was a dreary day, rainy. Went into Meadville. I picked up the food. I even got some ice cream, and I headed home. Got about halfway home, and I saw a young man walking towards Meadville with his head down, and he was kind of shuffling. He was wet. It was raining. And I thought, oh, poor guy. And then God said to me, pick him up. But I've got groceries. Pick him up. Pulled into a driveway. I turned around. I drove back down there, pulled along the road on the other side, and I thought, okay, I'm going to ask, buddy. You just say no. You want a ride? Yes. Okay, come on. He got in the car, and as we started out, he starts telling me his troubles. Young man, he was married. They were having a rough time. Finances were really bad. He said, I came home from work today. He said, and my wife was waiting for me at the door. And she handed me a paper. He said it was a PFA, Protection from Abuse Order. And he says, and I am not allowed in the house. I wanted to come in and just get some of my clothes. She wouldn't let me. Said she'd call the cops. He says, I don't understand. He says, I never laid a hand on her. And I said, okay, buddy. I said, I'm a pastor, you know. I says, tell me the truth here. He says, I'm serious. I said, well, did you ever verbally or emotionally abuse her? He said, we've had our disagreements. We've had our arguments and that. And he said, yeah, there have been some problems. But he said, no. He says, I never did any of that. He said, I just don't understand this. It don't make any sense. And I said, well, it's a PFA, so you can't go anywhere near her. You'll be in trouble. They'll throw you in jail. He says, I know. He says, I said, what are you going to do now? He said, well, I'm going to go to Meadville. They've got a men's shelter. I'm going to stay there. I said, okay. So I dropped him off at Meadville. Turned around and headed home with my groceries and ice cream. I didn't get a mile, maybe two. God said, not enough. Now, I was already uncomfortable doing what I did, but not enough. I had to go back. So I turned around, I went back, found the guy, and got back in the car, and I said, listen, here's a Bible. I always carry a Bible in a car. Here's a blanket. Go and be well. Okay. Got out of the car. I took off. I only got a few blocks. God said, not enough. God wanted me to get out of the boat again, and I was really uncomfortable. I went back, found the guy. He got in the car, and I'm thinking, God, I can't bring him home. I know nothing about this guy. I've got company coming over. My wife would kill me if I brought him home. Thought, what can I? Oh, okay. Took out a business card. Gave him my business card. Had my home phone number and everything else on it. I said, listen, if you find out you've got problems tonight and you need a different place to stay, call me. Because I'm thinking I can get somebody from the church to take him. But I gave him my card and I left. And then I had perfect peace all the way home. Got home. Ice cream didn't even melt. Had a nice evening with our family. Next day I go to work. It was around noon. Police officer comes in the church. Said he wanted to talk to me. He says, do you know so-and-so? I says, name sounds familiar. He said, we just arrested him and put him in jail for violating a PFA yesterday. His wife called it in. And after we got him in jail, he gave us your card, said he was with you. I said, what time was this? He said, around 2:30. And I said, yeah, he was. He was with me. That was why God kept saying, not enough. And the officer said, okay. He says, I kind of thought she might have been lying. He said, we'll take care of this. When God calls us to get out of the boat, it's always for a reason. It's not just to make us uncomfortable. You know, here was Peter and all the other disciples in this boat that's being buffeted by the wind. Right? So there's a little bit of a storm going on, and the waves they can get up to 9 feet tall on the Sea of Galilee, and they're being buffeted. But Peter and most of his fellow disciples were already fishermen. They're used to being out in a boat. So the wind is knocking the boat around, but they're comfortable because they're in their element. They know how to handle things. And then one of them says, "What's that?" Jesus is walking on the water. Now, even before they knew who it was, all they knew was that the law of gravity, water, the two don't mix. You just can't walk on the water. It is not humanly possible. The world says this can't happen. And so grown men cry out in fear. Ah! It's a ghost. They're frightened. And Jesus right away says, "Take courage. Take courage. Don't be upset. It's me." Well, yeah, right, but you still shouldn't be walking on water. Peter says, "If it's really you, Lord, bid me come out to you." Now imagine, if you will, this is their comfort zone. This is what Peter's used to. Jesus says, "Come. Get out of the boat." What do you think his fellow passengers were doing? Man, they were trying to hold on to Peter. You can't leave, Peter. You got to stay. You can't go out in that water. Peter, you can't walk on water. Naysayers. But Peter steps out of the boat onto the water. And it's like walking on hard ground. Because he's looking at Jesus. And he starts walking to Jesus. So I've seen depictions, movies and stuff, and they only have him get a couple steps. But he got close enough to Jesus that all Jesus had to do was reach out a hand when he needed it. And so Peter's walking on the water. Peter is doing what is absolutely impossible according to the world. He has stepped out of his comfort zone, and he is doing something that he knows in his natural mind can't happen. But right now, he's not thinking with his natural mind because he's in his spirit concentrating on Jesus. And he knows that with God, all things are possible. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. It's only when it says that he sees the wind. Well, how do you see the wind except for the waves? You see the wind blowing up the waves and the spray in his face. And he starts to waver. He starts to look more to circumstances in his life and taking his eyes off of his Jesus, his source of hope and strength. And he begins to sink. And as he begins to sink, he cries out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls him back up on top, refocuses his attention. They both walk to the boat and they get in. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Scriptures don't tell us anything about what Jesus said to the others in the boat who never even got out of the boat. He didn't say anything to them. But who is it that a little while later in Scriptures we find out, Jesus says to that person, "And upon you I will build my church, upon you this foundation." Who is that he's talking to? Peter, you of little faith, but it's Peter upon whom he's going to build the church. Who is it that gives a sermon on the day of Pentecost that brings over 5,000 people to the church? Peter. It is Peter. Because he dared to get out of the boat, God blessed him for that. Because Abram left his home and his family and dared to start a journey to a new land, trusting in God. God blessed him for it. And the list goes on with David and what he did with Goliath and just who? Daniel in the lion's den, yes. There's just so many of them. It's a long list of, you know, and even when he called all the disciples, they left behind their fishing, their careers, the tax collecting and all that. And they went with Jesus. And God blessed them for that. God is calling us to get out of the boat. That's a great church. Man, it's a great church. I'll tell you what. The building is absolutely amazing. I love to come in here even by myself and just revel in God's presence. And you're a bunch of good-looking people. Good-looking people. Well, and then there's Dave, but you know, that's all right. Friendly. And you treat your pastor really well. And I got to thank you for the cards and gifts, the encouragement that we've gotten. We got out of the boat when we came here. Well, Bishop kicked us out of the boat, but... We're going to put something in the bulletin this week for next week about our new bishop who starts in September, Bishop Moore Koikoi from the Baltimore area. But it's a great church. And we're feeling more comfortable in here all the time.
My brother Chris.
God doesn't want us to stay comfortable. I'm sorry. I love you bunches. But I got to tell you, no matter how good we think we're doing, God wants us to do more. God wants us not to do things that are comfortable. Doesn't want just the same old, but God wants us to rock the boat, to get people out of the boat, to do things that are unusual. Because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Our kids today don't care about all the beauty and all the painted windows and all that. They don't care about this. They don't care about the structure. The kids today, these generations coming up, they care more about hands-on stuff. They're looking for Pokemon when they need to be looking for Jesus. And it's up to you and I to get that message across to them. And we can't do that by doing what we're doing. We do what we're doing to increase our faith. Yes, to be strong in the faith. But then we got to figure out, what does it take to walk on water, to do what Jesus wants us to do? God needs us to be willing to get out of the boat. I need three volunteers. Chris? Dave? I just conscripted him. He didn't volunteer, but come on down here. What, young man? I need a female. Okay. There we go. Another one. Come on. Two, three. That's good. Even. It's good. Now, you know what they just did? They got out of the boat. They got no idea what I'm going to ask them to do. None. But they got out of the boat. Thank you. You can sit back down. You know, and sometimes that's all God wants us to do, put a toe in the water. But I might have had them do a skit or something, which I like to do, a little drama or something. Sometimes God wants us to get all the way out of the boat. But it's always for a reason. So no matter how uncomfortable it feels, we've got work to do. Helen Keller said that a life without risk is no life at all. Helen Keller. To be a Christian is to live at risk. It's to take chances. It's not just to be comfortable. I mean, all you got to do is think about all the news and the things going on in France and all over the world, right here in our own country. We need to get out of the boat. So look for ways to do that. Ways right here in church. Are there things that you can get involved in? I don't like to do that. I'm not used to do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I've never done that before. Well, that's a good one. I've never done that before. Somebody else will do it. All those things keep you in the boat. Jesus didn't say anything to the people in the boat. We need to get out of the boat. That's our choice. God loves you, and so do I. Our hymn of parting is Trust and Obey, number 467, standing as we sing. Trust and Obey. So what is it that God's been calling you to do? Get out of the boat. And what is it exactly, specifically? Is it go to the neighbor and help the neighbor out with something? Maybe even just knock on the door and say hello, spend some time with somebody? Is it take a new job? Is it get involved in something in church? Is it to be nice to that kid that, you know, wears their pants down to here and got tattoos all over them and body piercings and there aren't any here, are there? That's getting out of the boat for some of us. What is it that God is calling you to do right now?
Follow Jesus' example.
Jesus said, those things that I have done and greater things you will do. Get out of the boat. He never got in the boat. Walking across the water, not until he got there. I mean, God is calling us. And perhaps even right now, you know where it is and God's calling you. It's not easy, but trust and obey. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you, God, for opportunities to do ministry. Fill us with holy boldness. Fill us with so much of your love that we can't possibly contain it. Instead, help us to do those things which the world says, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. But we'll do it anyways. Because we've said, is it you, Lord? And you've said, come. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, we'll get out of the boat. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.